speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The Bible is very clear with reference to what it is and what God expects. The Bible identifies to us as that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17. As we look with reference to what the Bible is, that it is God's message to mankind, God tells us that we need to make sure that we abide in sound doctrine. The Bible is referred to in a number of ways in this manner. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, it's called sound teaching. And it is imperative for those who are Christians to understand the difference between sound teaching and that which would be called false teaching from our God. It is also referred to as sound doctrine, which is the same as sound teaching. And this is brought forth in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. When God speaks with reference to sound teaching or sound doctrine, literally what He is saying is what is also conveyed in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. And that is that the teaching of God is pure. It is about purity and making sure that we understand the unadulterated doctrine of God and that we live by it as well as that we worship by these things. Why? Because it is only the Word of God that is sound for those things that will be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. And as Christians then, God tells us that we must abide in the things that will lead us unto faithfulness before our God. Therefore, as Christians, each of us should know the fundamental truths of God's Word, but also to be able to understand the value of Scripture in our lives. As a young boy, I became acquainted with the value of a pocket knife. My mom and dad gave me my first pocket knife, and Dad told me, he said, carry it with you because you never know when you might need a pocket knife. And I have found that Dad's advice has certainly come in handy because you never know when you might have to cut something open. You never know when you might have to pick a splinter out of your finger. You never know when, even if you don't have anything to do, that you might want to just pick up a stick and do a little bit of whittling. Also, my dad and my mom told me whenever I started to drive, they gave me a key to the house and a key to this and a key to that. And today I carry around a whole clump of keys. And in fact, I even have another set of keys that I carry with me in my pocket that are back in my office. And these keys fit various things. And why do I carry so many different ones? Because you never know when you're going to need a certain key to be able to get in to this or to be able to get in to that. Another thing that I learned very early on, especially going through preaching school, is to carry a pen, because you never know when you might have to write something down. You never know when a sermon idea or scripture will come to mind, and therefore you want to be able to be prepared to write it down. Every one of us also today, sadly in some way, but also a blessing in others, we all know what this is. And we understand the value in this, also the detriment in it. But the value in a cell phone, as a preacher, oftentimes I'm getting calls or text messages with reference to things that are going on with our members, but not only with our members, with our family. We understand the value in all of these different things that I've talked about and other things. But friends, what about the value that we find with reference to our God's Word? What about the value of the truth of God's message? Well, to begin with, we find value in the truth of God because God uses the truth to save us. When we think about the truth, no doubt we think about Jesus Christ our Lord. He was sent into this world to save mankind as the truth. In fact, we read in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He pre-existed in heaven with God as God. And friends, also we learn from John chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He dwelt among the people of that century, of that time. And He demonstrated exactly what it was to pre-exist in heaven with God as God. We learn from John chapter 1 and verse 18 that when He came into this world, that He declared the Father in such a way that God had never been seen or spoken about before. Why was He able to do that? How was He able to declare Father in a way that the prophets who were seers of God, seen through the eyes of God, that these men were not able to proclaim or to identify God in the past? Friends, Jesus was able to do this because of who He was and what it was that He came to do. He was deity, and He had been sent to this world as the divine truth to die for the sins of mankind. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through Me." Friends, it's only the truth, Jesus, and also the Word of God that is able to set us free. John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In that context, I believe He's speaking with reference to the Word of God. As we read and study, we need to understand that it is the true message delivered to us from God. And as we read with reference to God's will as it pertains to you and me, and the fact that we are alienated from God as a result of the sin that we commit in our life, not only does God reveal this truth to us, but friends, God also declares in the Scripture concerning the salvation that He extends only through Jesus Christ our Lord. But friends, also, not only do we learn in the Scripture the path or the avenue wherein that God forgives us of sin, and by that I mean whenever we submit to Christ in baptism, is that God works in heaven to forgive us of all unrighteousness in our love for Him and our obedience to Him, to Christ in baptism. But after we are baptized into Christ, there continues to be value in the Word of God, in the truth. Take into consideration what Jesus declares before us in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." He tells us in a very emphatic and in a very direct way is that the Word of God is indeed the truth, but it has purpose. And what is that purpose? It is to sanctify mankind, those of us who are Christians. Well, what does that word sanctify mean? It means to set us apart. Whenever we put Christ on in baptism, we are leaving the world behind. We are to leave the old man of sin in the watery grave of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and following. And we are raised to walk in newness of life. And friends, a part of that newness of life is to realize now is that we are set apart to serve God and that we can no longer participate in the evil of the sinful things of the world. And how can we accomplish this? Truth be told, none of us would be able to accomplish it on our own without the truth that God gives us in His Word to define the type of life that He expects us to live after we become a Christian. We read and study the Scripture, but yet at the same time, as we read and study, we make the application of the Word of God to our life, the truth to our life, and as a result of those things then, no longer are we just children of God, but we are living as faithful children of God each day. You see, a righteous life is the result of the truth. There is value in the truth to save us and also to keep us saved. You see, walking in the truth guarantees us life. And I'm not talking about physical life, but rather it guarantees us eternal life. And I'm not trying to suggest in any shape nor form, once saved, always saved. Man can, and many have, and sadly, many will turn away from God. They will fall from the grace of God. They will be lost. Some who are, some who have been, they are in a state of lost. Some will become lost because they no longer walk as God commands them to walk. But those of us who strive each and every day to live according to the truth, God says that whenever we do so, and we do not turn away from that standard of living, is that we have a place prepared in heaven for us. And what a blessing that is to you and me, of great value that is to you and me. The truth is able to save us and to keep us saved in the sight of God. But friends, also, the Bible identifies to us is that the truth has great value. Why? Because God uses truth to edify us. The word edify in the New Testament Scripture literally means to build us up. And as we look with reference to the Scripture, it is imperative for new converts to understand the first principles, to understand the very basic things that are taught in the Scripture. What are some of the basic things about the Bible? Well, the plan of salvation is basic. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and remain faithful. Those are rudimentary things. Those are very fundamental ideas that God spells out for us in Scripture. But also, I believe fundamentals would also involve that as we assemble for worship, is that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And it is so important for those who are new Christians to study these things through, as well as if they do not understand these matters, is that they get with some of us who do, and that we sit down and we go over these first principles with these new converts so that they also will be able to grow unto spiritual maturity. You see, the Bible tells us that mature saints, they need a more in-depth study of the Bible. And therefore, as those of us who have been members of the church for many years, for those of us who are definitely not new babes in Christ, it is important for us to realize that we cannot, we must not stand still with reference to what we have known or maybe to where we are in our understanding of God's Word. We must continue to abound in our realization of what the Bible says. In fact, as the Hebrews writers writing to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through verse 14, he says that the writer there says that he was saddened over the fact that these individuals who should have been teachers now had need for someone to come in and to teach them again the first principles. What is he saying? He says that they had been Christians for an extended period of time and they ought to have been mature. Most scholars contend that those that the Hebrews writer is speaking to had been in Christ somewhere between 20 to 30 years. And he says, you should have been established in the faith. You should not only have known the truth, but you should have been an individual who have gone on to teach others the first principles and what it means to be a Christian. And as a mature saint, today I stand before you. And I want to encourage each and every one of us in our lives to never be complacent with where we are in regard to our relationship with God as well as with our understanding of His Word. Let's all continue each and every day to dig into the Word of God. Times of assembly are helpful in helping to feed our needs. As I develop lessons for our worship service, I do all that I possibly can to try and think about everyone who is involved in our worship assembly, from the saint to the sinner, from those who are new in Christ to those who ought to be mature in Christ. And I try to be able to incorporate things that would be beneficial for each and every one of us. And in all that, I trust that it's helpful. And I know that our teachers also do the same things for their classes. And by all means, our being here is indeed required by God to be able to grow in our faith as well as to grow in our love and appreciation for God. For friends, individual study also promotes maturity. You can do so much more in the privacy of your home than what we will ever accomplish here if you and I would just do that. If we will take time out of our schedule each day to make sure that we read the Bible, maybe it's what we read the newspaper, or maybe it's what we would watch the television, Or maybe it's what we would set aside other time to go out and to do this or to do that. If we will just take the time that God expects us to take and that we ought to desire to take because we see the value in the Scripture, in the truth, the way in which it's able to help us in our relationship with God as well as in our path to be able to make it to heaven someday. You see, God's truth strengthens our faith. The more that we read, the greater that we're able to understand our God. Also, the more that we read, the more that we're able to comprehend the Lord's church and how that the Lord's church is different than the rest of the churches that are out here. There are churches out here who claim to be a part of the whole, but yet at the same time, the Lord said, I will build my church, a singular church. And He says, the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. And the more that we read specifically from the New Testament Scripture, the greater understanding and appreciation we have about not only the fact that there is one church, but also what that church is to God and what that church should and must mean to us as children of the kingdom of God. As children of God. God's truth strengthens our faith also to know that not only did Jesus Christ was He resurrected from the grave by the power of God, but it helps to strengthen our faith to know that someday Jesus Christ is coming again. And that as long as we are in Christ and living faithfully in Christ, is that we will be able to be partakers of that great and glorious day. Friends, nothing is more edifying than that, amen? To build us up and to encourage us to know that we have hope beyond this life, to be with our God someday. But you see, also God defines for us is that His truth has value because God uses truth to console us or to comfort us. I believe that God realizes all the difficulties that we go through in life. You look back to the Old Testament Scripture, David. King David dealt with a number of issues in his life, and some of them were self-inflicted. And sometimes our problems are self-inflicted. And by that I mean is that we're reaping the consequences for the seed that we have sown. But yet at the same time, sometimes we deal with difficulties or challenges in life simply because that's just what life is really and truly all about. And David dealt with those things in his life. But you know, David says, Lord, I know, and I am so grateful, and this is paraphrased, that I have Your Word to direct me, that I have Your Word to console me, to help me through those challenges, those trials that I and facing in my life. And as a Christian, I take great comfort in knowing, as God says in the Hebrews letter, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, that everything is naked or revealed in the sight of God. You see, God, He's attuned to everything that's going on in our lives. And why does He know the things that are taking place in our life? Because He cares about everything that's going on in our life. Our Heavenly Father cares whenever we are hurting. And I can't think of any greater words than what we find in the words of our Lord in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through verse 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls upon us to come to Him, knowing full well that we may be dealing with an issue or burden that is just weighing us down. And Satan's wanting it to wear us out. And God says, it doesn't have to be that way. Why? Because I am there for you. And how is God there for us? Friends, He's there for us in a number of ways as we pray to God. As we earnestly go to God in prayer without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, God is faithful. Whenever the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man is lifted up before God, God not only hears those prayers, James chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, God answers those prayers. He's working in our lives to help us, to console us, and to comfort us as we face everything that this crazy world has to offer. But friends, also God reminds us time and time again how blessed we are to be able to have one another. Walter and family, we love you all. And Mary Ann is seen in so many ways in this congregation. And we grieve still as a congregation and can only imagine all that you, Walter, and your family are going through. But isn't it a wonderful blessing, as these men expressed this morning, and as others have expressed and experienced, to know that we have each other, that we have the church family? I'm grateful for the church universally, and I know I'm not alone in that. But in a special way, I'm so grateful for the church that we have here at East End. Mike and Christy, I was thinking about that last night as we're sitting around. We have such a great church family. The love and the desire for us to be able to be with one another, it's so encouraging. God reminds us of this blessing, that we're here for each other to rejoice whenever things are going well with those who have things going great, but also to encourage, to comfort one another whenever things aren't going so well in life. But friends, also, as we're thinking with reference to the value of God's Word, biblical truth then also offers us comfort. The Scriptures express in a number of ways, almost you might say endlessly, is that God is there to comfort us. And that God is not only expressing that He's there to comfort us, He shows us ways that He has comforted people from the time in which this world was created. And then He assures each and every one of us is that those things will not stop until this world is no more. And then in reality it doesn't stop. It stops on this side of heaven. But whenever we are in heaven with God, He is there to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And as we read and study from the truth offers us that hope, the truth offers us that comfort as those who are children of God. But God also shows us in the Scriptures that He uses truth to protect us. The Word is there, and God sees and wants us to understand that He truly wants us to do well physically. He has created us, the Bible says, after His image. And that doesn't speak with reference to physically, but more spiritually, that we are a spirit and that there is a soul that dwells within us that will go on into eternity. But the idea that God formed us from the dust of the ground and put us here upon this world and sets us on a path to not only reach eternity, but also to be able to have family, to have friends, and to have a life here in this world. And He tells us that while we are here, He says, enjoy life, but also don't forget about God. But as you're also working for the Lord, realize that you have roles and responsibilities to do here. And as I read all of those things, I can't help but think, God, how can we accomplish this? And God, why? Why do You want us to do this? And God says, I want you to thrive and to do well physically. And He's there for us while all is well and that we're doing well physically. And when we're not, He's given us avenues that we might be able to pursue and even to be able to regain our physical health whenever things aren't going so well. And still again, He comforts us whenever it doesn't turn out so well. God truly wants us to do well physically. But friends, God has a greater concern for our soul. The soul is a part of our life here, and that's important. But the soul will go on to be with the Lord in eternity. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. The body returns to the ground in death from whence it came, and the soul then goes on back unto our Creator. And therefore God reminds us as Christians, and He warns those who are not members of the Lord's church. You see, God wants man to seriously seek after Him. He seeks after us each and every day, does He not? And how does He do that? Through Christians, and therefore as Christians we need to make sure that we're engaged in trying to tell everybody that we can about Christ and about salvation that God extends to mankind in Christ and about the Lord's church. We need to do our part in order for God to appear and in order for God certainly to be able to accomplish His part. God is seeking man through His Word, through His Christians, and through providence. And the problem oftentimes comes in is that so many are not seriously seeking after God. It's interesting too to me is that in a nonchalant way, a lot of people will say, I believe in God. A lot of times people will say, yeah, I love God. Why do you ask? Well, your life doesn't line up with what you say. A lot of people say, oh, I belong to a church. Friends, it's not about belonging to a church. It's about belonging to God. And if we belong to God, then we're going to search His Word and then we're going to be a part of the right church. We need to seek God seriously, the way in which He seeks after us. He seeks after us so much that He gave His Son, and He defines for us is that if we really and truly seek after Him, that we will give our life, not in death, we will die a faithful child of God. That's a given. But we will give God our life. In other words, we'll give Him 100%, 100% of the time while we are here. And whenever we're doing those things, living by Scripture, according to sound doctrine, sound teaching, in purity of faith, then God is moving continually to keep our soul safe. Responsibility is still on our part, but at the same time, God is moving providentially to help us, to give us ways of escape when we face trials in life. And friends, the greatest thing that we have in our defense is the Word of God, the truth, the value of the truth. He gives us a sword. A lot bigger and better than this. Amen. He gives us a sword, a defense. But we've got to take it up. How do you take it up? By reading and studying. By meditating daily upon the Word of God and implementing it into your life. The value of the Scripture. The value of the Word of God. The truth. There's so many other things that could be brought into this lesson. But I'll leave the lesson with you today. Is that do you understand the value of truth in your life? If you're not a New Testament Christian, God calls you with this invitation today that you might confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and that you would in that also submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you would also be raised to walk in newness of life, forgiven by God, added into His kingdom, and doing what you possibly can in life to live faithful before Him, so that you will die someday to dwell eternally in heaven with Him. If you're here and you're an erring member, we want you to know that we love you so much. We're praying for you. And today we would like to be able to pray with you that you might be forgiven and added back into a faithful relationship with God.